As I was walking in the sanctuary, I was hearing this passage. I'm just going to read it to you. And it's Philippians chapter 4. You got to remember, Paul wrote this from prison. His circumstances could not have been worse. Okay, I can't look at you guys. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, well, we need this, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if Paul can write that from prison, we need to do exactly that. Now, I think everybody probably in this room already knows, but I'm speaking to many around the world that you may not have heard, that our beloved pastor, Dave Roberson, went to be with Jesus yesterday about noon, shortly after, I think. On this side, it was very peaceful and calm and no pain. But I think on that side in heaven, there were trumpets and shouting and hooray and banners. I don't know if they have balloons or whatever they have, but I believe it was a celebration of a son coming home full of reward. I was talking with one friend and he said, well, you know, once you've been there and tasted heaven, I'm not sure you'd come back. I said, well, Dave would come only if the Lord sent him. But if the Lord sent him back, Dave would come because he always obeyed the Lord. But Dave did pass yesterday peacefully, without pain. We thank God for that. And the first notice I saw, I'm going to read a few things that have come in. Now, of course, all of our phones just blew up as the news went around the world. And got so many testimonies coming in and people saying what Dave meant to their life. I tried to do all my crying yesterday, but apparently there's some still left. The first thing I saw was from Tawny, their daughter Tawny. And this, she put this on Facebook. And she said, you're free now. Thank you for the example you set. You lived what you believed, and now your faith has become sight. I will forever thank God that out of all the baby girls in this world, I was the one that got to be yours. I love you. Well done, Tawny. The next one I saw was from Daniel. And they both have great pictures posted here also. But it says, again on Facebook, so today my father got to go home to be with his heavenly father and a reunion like none other. I am so thankful for the love that you showed me and for everything that you've ever taught me. Dad, I love you. Now you get to rest. Some of these, there's so many that I've already received that I'm going to make the rest of these anonymous because there's just too many. I can't read them all and I don't want, you know, any. I'm not picking one over the other, just so many. But here's one that I thought really expressed my heart and probably most of us also. And this is a lady. She says, my pastor, Dave Roberson, has entered into the gates of heaven. I want to honor Him. I want to thank God for every moment I got to learn from Him. Boy, can we rejoice with that? I thank God for every moment. He is the most loving, gentle, powerful, and Christ-like person I have met in my entire life, and I agree. I can't even begin to express how much I loved and respected Him. He brought my husband out of atheism by showing him miracles as if it were an ordinary occurrence. Isn't that great? You healed that young boy's shattered leg right in front of us. Now, Dave would say the Lord did it, but we understand. You brought me my first emotional healing. You taught me how to love and pray for my enemies. You told me the right time to have my first child. And even the last time we spoke, you told me that we would meet together again in heaven. You let the Holy Spirit lead the church services instead of playing church. Bombs did not go off at the church you preached at in India. You are the most humble man I have ever met. I brought you a pie, and you made us laugh and sang like Johnny Cash in a t-shirt and jeans, a black t-shirt and jeans. You are my family. You are home. I could never thank you enough in one lifetime. I love you, Pastor Dave. This one is from Brazil. We've got so many from Brazil that love Dave, and he blessed them so much. This is just one out of many. Said, we will miss our Pastor Dave, but we know he is fine. He said, I wish I could be with you in person right now. Know that my heart is united with all of you. I would like the church of Tulsa to know how much Pastor Dave has helped us in Brazil all of these years. I will try to transcribe on paper several more testimonies so that they reach you. And if there's any other way we can help to show our respect and love, please let us know. One person sent a sort of a paraphrase of an old song called I'll Meet You in the Morning. The song was originally written by Albert Brumley. And they paraphrased it a little, but I like the paraphrase, so I'm going to read it this way, the way they sent it. Of course, talking to Pastor Dave. Says, I will meet you in the morning with a how do you do. And we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintances renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear. I'll meet you in the morning in the city that is built four square. I tried to stop this. I don't want to do this. I read all of this yesterday until I thought all the tears were gone. But apparently, not quite. Dave was 78 years old. He would have been 79 May the 1st, if I have all of my details right. As of this moment, I have not been informed. I don't know if it's been said yet when the actual funeral and memorial service will happen. I know there will be one. And as soon as details are available, everybody will know. Alan may already know. I don't know. But as soon as we know, you'll know. Years ago, one of the most important... How do you say that? So many of Dave's messages were so important. Changed my life. But one year, you know, there was a funeral. This is quite a few years ago. And the funeral was for a good Christian man that we all knew. And a very zealous person for Christ. Young man in his 40s. On the outside, as far as we could tell, there was no kind of sin. There was no adultery. There was no drinking. There was no drugs. There was no anything like that. Now, you know, we could all point out some personality things that the Lord was working on, but can't we point it out in all of us, including yours truly? But he died in his 40s suddenly, very unexpectedly. And we were, you know, you can't help but the question, why? You know? And I will never, ever forget what Dave said in that service. He said it this way. He said, all we can do is look on the outside. We can't see what's going on inside of a person. He says, but for every person within them, there is a whole universe where it's just them and the Lord. We don't get to look in there. But he said, if you could talk to that young man today, he would know. God knows. It's not a mystery to them. And that has stuck with me all of these years. I remember, you know, how many knows Moses did not get to take the people into the promised land? Did you know that it was God's original plan that he did so? This is important. Because see, already I've been getting questions because there's prophecies. We have many prophecies about Dave leading the charge, spearheading, I think, the charge into the revival. Dave and many, we have many prophecies like that. Well, let me, if you brought your Bible, yes, we are going to use our Bibles. Open up to Numbers, verse 20. How about Numbers chapter 20? Y'all pray for me. Now, even before I read this, see, normally we don't get to look on the inside. We don't know why. Exactly like Dave said about that young man. There's a whole universe in there that we seldom know about. But the Bible is usually very transparent. And that's one thing why I try and be real transparent when I teach. The Bible usually puts it right out there. You know, David committed adultery. David had Uriah killed and so forth and so on. Well, we're told why Moses, why the plan changed. Because you're going to see from this verse, it was God's plan for Moses, not Joshua, to lead the people into the promised land. Now, in Moses' case, you're going to see it's disobedience. And please hear me, I am not saying that about Dave. The point is, the original plan of God, sometimes included with prophecy, can be changed based on what is done. But please, I am not saying, I don't know why. I don't, okay? So please understand that. But the point is, you can have the mind of God, the plan of God, the prophecy of God. It's all valid. But as you're going to see, that can change. So Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Now here's the instruction. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. So what is Moses supposed to do, people? Speak to the rock. Okay? And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. He hit it twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, if you underline, therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. What does that tell you? Before that event, it was the Lord's plan for Moses to lead them into the promised land. Now, I'm going to say it again just to make sure you heard me the first time. I am not saying that there's disobedience that caused this. But what I am saying is you can have the mind of God. You can have prophecy in line with the mind of God. But things can happen that will change that. You can't invalidate prophecy just because of something like this. You see what I mean? A lot of people are going to say, none of those prophecies were so. Yeah, they were. They absolutely were the mind of God, just like it was the mind of God for Moses to take them into the promised land. Now, we have many prophecies concerning Dave, that it was God's plan for Dave to lead the charge into the revival. See, we're not, he's not called us to possess a geographical land exactly the same. Well, in a way we are, because revival is going to take this nation back. Not politics. Revival is going to take this nation back. And I believe the real revival is going to sweep the world. I believe we're going to have billions of people swept into the kingdom of God before Christ returns. But in a, really, though, our battle is spiritual and not physical. He's not called us to go and, you know, physically go to war with people. He's called us to do spiritual warfare against principalities and powers and so forth. I didn't want to do this part. I argued with the Lord. None of y'all ever argue with the Lord, I'm sure. I said, Lord, people are going to misunderstand. They're not going to take it right. This is a time to mourn. Let me just mention that. Did you know that after Moses died, you can read about it in Deuteronomy, the people mourned for 30 days. It is okay to mourn. I hurt. I'll just tell you plain. It's hard for me to believe. I'm not going to get to have another conversation with Dave on this side. I hurt. So there is a mourning, and it is godly, I think. There is a godly sorrow, and there's a time for that. I think it's part of the healing process, but you can't let that mourning turn into something else, because it can really hurt you. But they had a mourning time, a time of mourning for Moses, and it's okay to mourn for Dave. But see, the question, here's the part I didn't want to get into, the question always is why? I've already heard several speculations, and I got to tell you ahead of time, all of these people love Dave with all of their heart. But the natural mind is always going to go, why? Okay? It's normal to ask questions like this. Now, I'm going to only take three, and there's probably a lot more. Then we're going to get to what the Lord wants us to do about it. But I've heard several speculations already, and I'm just going to mention three of them. One of them is like goes basically like this. Well, it was those witches in that dream that he had down in Brazil. You remember the dream about the smoking flax and the, you know, all of that? That's what it was. It was those witches. Yeah, that's what did it. See, I have no doubt during Dave's lifetime, not just then, but many times, there were witches and people coming against Dave in every way possible. But see, the Bible still says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, those witches can do what they do, and evil people can pray what they pray, but greater is our God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It is not because of that. Okay? Well, all of these are good speculations, and all of these people love Dave. Now, I want you to please me understand that. Here's another speculation. Well, it was the grieving because he lost three of his sons. What was it, about 8 years? In the span of roughly 8 years, maybe a little, I may be off a little. Three, well, who ever heard of such a thing as that when it wasn't warfare, like World War II or something? It is unusual. And I have no doubt that Dave grieved. Who wouldn't? But see, remember, Dave had a promise from the Lord. Remember that? None of his sons would leave this planet until they were saved. So yes, in the natural, you grieve. That's gotta hurt. But Dave had an abiding peace because he knew where his sons were. He knew he'd see them again. I have no doubt that Dave grieved over their loss, just like any parent would. But I'm convinced that didn't take Dave out. That's not the reason. I've actually heard this now from people that love Dave. I'm not. If you're one, I love you too. If you're more than one has told me this. It was this terrible diet. It was those chicken nuggets. French fries, strawberry shakes, and energizer drinks. That's what it was. And I'm getting smiles because others have heard this. Now listen, diet is important, okay? And most of us have seen Dave in his jogging suit doing that. Only Dave can do it, sort of toe, heel, whatever that was, jogging down Union. You know. And of course, diet is important. But listen, my mother, who is 101 and still eats bacon, sausage, and cheeseburgers and pizza on a regular basis, she'd say, I don't think that's what took him out. Now, here's the point. There's a lot more you could list. That kind of speculation is a trap. Focusing on why in the past will keep you in the past. And we will never turn and face the true enemy that is trying to stop us from going into revival. Now, endless speculation about why. Everybody's curious. Everybody would like to know exactly why. You know what Dave would say right now if he walked up here? If he could have one more message, I'd know exactly what he'd say. I really do. You do too. Show me your dust. That's what he'd say. Show me your dust. You take what I brought you and you go with it into revival. The time has come for you to show me your dust. That's what he would say. Now, he'd do it a lot sweeter than that. He'd tell a joke along with it. There's only one Dave Roberson. He's irreplaceable. But he would say, show me your dust. And I'm going to ask you to open to another passage of Scripture. It's Joshua chapter 1. Right now, the prayer center, and when I say the prayer center, I mean not only here, Immokalee, Dayton, but all of you around the world, Brazil, Australia, Germany, Ireland, Africa, India, Canada. I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm so sorry that I might. We're all pretty much in the same position now as Joshua was when Moses left the planet. Did you know that the Hebrew name Joshua is exactly the equivalent of the Greek name Jesus? Did you know that? It's such a type and a shadow. And of course, Joshua here led them into the promised land. But see, Christ in us, Christ in you individually, is leading each of us into the promised land. See, it's no coincidence. Jesus, He is the Lord. He is in each, and He's not just one. He's in each and every one of us to lead us exactly in our part to possess this land of revival. Now, I'm just going to read 9 verses first, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. But we're pretty much in the same spot. Moses has died. They've buried him. Nobody knows exactly where he's buried, and that's for a good reason. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let me tell you what the devil's version is. Moses is dead. It's all over. Give up, surrender. You're never going to be in revival. None of this works anyway. I've been telling the devil, I've been telling you for years, nothing happening while you're praying and fasting. You should have left this place a long time ago. And now surely is the time for you to get discouraged and weak. Leave this place like I've been telling you, and everything will be better. Now that's the devil's version. That is not what God says. Not what God says at all. Now, they did have a period of mourning. Again, I'm going to say it's okay to mourn, but that's 30 days, no more than that, okay? Tell the people to arise and possess the land. That was the message to Joshua. Tell the people to arise. Arise from what? Arise out of their mourning. For us, it's not a physical land. For us, it is the outpouring of revival. That was God's original instruction to Dave. You've taken other people's sheep as far as you can take them. Gather a group of people and take them far enough in me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city that will spread around the world. Dave said it many times. It's a revival of doctrine, soundness of mind, and sanity. A revival of media and profound miracles, so that the finest minds will evaluate and say, your God must be God. Did you hear in that testimony how the seeing of miracles turned that woman's husband from an atheist to a believer? There's going to be a lot of atheists become believers when they see the power of the living God. We were born for such a time as this. God put a hook in your jaw a long time ago to draw you to this message for this very purpose. Now is not a time to get weak-kneed and quit. Now is the time to press in like never before. And if you want to honor Dave, let us show him our dust. I'm serious. Now, I'm going to paraphrase a few of these verses. Look at verse 5. When I read that, I read it like this, because ours is a spiritual war. There shall no devil be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Dave, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. You understand that? Remember how Alan talks about how, you know, where he's from and the training he had, people, any kind of manifestation, the people would jump on them like a bug on a like a duck on a June bug, you know. And they're shouting and yelling and commanding and come out and all of this. And okay, I'm not an expert. Dave would come over and whisper in the ear. You couldn't even hear what he said. And just walk away and be teaching. And before long, that devil came out and the person was a human again. Then everybody said, what did you say? What did you say? It must have been something secret. It must have been some mystery only known to God and Dave. Dave, what did you say when you whispered in the ear? And Dave says, I said, come out. But see, Dave knew the authority that he walked in. And he knew the Jesus that would back up what he said. And if we'll do the message that's been given to us from Dave, we'll come to that same place. Because the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. He's given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. So I want to say it again, verse 5. There shall no devil be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Dave, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. How about verse 6? See, right now, I'm hurting like you're hurting. I'm sure you're hurting around the world. It is a time of mourning, and that's okay. But we can't stay there very long, because our command is the same as it was here. Be strong and of a good courage. You will possess the land of revival, which I swore to give you. Now, verse 7 is really important. I'm going to read it the way he said it to Joshua first. Bear with me just a moment. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now listen, the law was what God gave Moses. That was the message that God gave Moses to deliver to the people in his generation. And God changed the world with that. But that's the message given to Moses. So that generation was said, you stay in this message day and night, that you do what's in the message. Don't turn from it to the left or to the right. I believe with all of my heart that God gave Dave Roberson a message for this generation. And it's the entire message with seven pillars that we teach here. Praying in other tongues. Prayer. Fasting. Everything to do with the Word. Meditation and assimilation and confession of the Word. Worship. Waiting on God. Everything. What we affectionately call the message. Well, this is what God gave Dave for this generation. And so God, when I was reading this, it came to me like this. Verse 7. The law was the revelation knowledge given by God for Moses to deliver to the people in his generation. In the same way, God gave Dave this message. You know what I mean by that? The entire message. To deliver to our generation. It includes the all seven pillars. We are to hold to that message that Dave delivered to us from God. We are not to turn from it to the left or to the right. If we continue in this message from God delivered through Dave, we will prosper and we will have revival. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. You want to honor Dave? Do the message. And then verse 8 puts even a little more emphasis on that. Continue to do the message. Do according to all of the message and not just part of it. See, how many times have we said that? See, I've talked about, there's two, okay, I can talk. Hey, at least I'm not crying. Mentioned many times, if you reduce the seven pillars down to four, prayer, fasting, the Word, and worship. Well, for me, the Word and prayer, if that was like the legs of a table, those four legs of a table we're going to serve the people from God's table. Two of those legs are pretty long and two of those legs are pretty short on my table in the past. The Word and prayer have been long legs. Those are easy for me. I enjoy those. I'm getting to where I enjoy fasting. Boy, was that a lie. My flesh done told you a lie right there. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm getting to where I enjoy worship way better than I ever had before. I don't enjoy fasting. I'll just tell you straight. I don't enjoy it. I pray for people that tell me they do. I don't know if they're liars or what. I don't know. Maybe they're not. But anyway, I've been guilty of it. I'm not asking you about your performance. But I have not done all the message to the same degree that I should have. So I'm focusing now on the worship. I'm not ignoring the other, but I am trying to get those legs kind of balanced up. So I'm focusing more on the worship, and I'm focusing more on the fasting, because we've got to do the entire message. Dave, how many times did he tell us? Fasting will give you what praying in tongues will not give you. But praying in tongues will give you what fasting cannot give you. Worship will give you things that neither prayer in tongues nor fasting will give you. And the Word definitely will give you things. So we've got to do the entire message. You want to honor Dave? Press in. The enemy wants to discourage us and beat us down and get us all thinking this is never working and so forth. Don't you think? Why do you think God is talking to Joshua there the way? Don't you think those same emotions went through Israel? Was it Joshua that led us out of Egypt? No, it was Moses. And Moses is dead. It's all over now. Boy, you can just hear the enemy running through the camp. No wonder God comes to Joshua. Says, you get the people up, you get them on their feet, you get them turned towards the enemy, we're going to go take the land. And that's what Dave would tell us right now today. Show me your dust, he'd say. Show me your dust. Glory to God. Now I'm going to mention this also. Dave is continuing to teach. What do you mean by that? All of the messages that are available at daveroberson.org for free is still available to the whole world. I have heard all of them more than once, every message there, some of them many, many times. But Saturday, before I learned about Dave going home, I've had a question up before the Lord. It's a personal question. I've had a question up before. I heard transparency. I'll tell you what it was. It doesn't matter to me. Because I'm pressing into worship. Most of you are familiar with the face-to-face documents. There's all kinds of instruction in there. But there's not anything in there that I remember giving me any instruction to go into extended private worship. Now, the worship, I'm sure, is mentioned. But there's no instructions in there. Gary, I want you to go into extended private worship. And here's my question. Why not, Lord? Why was there nothing in there about that? Notice the silence. Well, I really didn't know, because Dave put, how many volumes on worship is there? I mean, Dave just really, he put a lot of importance on it. And I'm going, Lord, you didn't say anything to me about that. It's embarrassing. You know why people aren't transparent? Well, it's embarrassing. But I don't care. It'll maybe help somebody. So I felt like the Lord was saying, now listen to volume one again. So I'm going through them one at a time. I forget now if it's fourth or fifth message in there. Dave answered my question. He says, because he talks about how rough it was breaking into private worship and the beatings he got from the devil, like, this is not working, you're not getting into his presence. Dave would say, my worship was as dry as cracker juice. I love you. Cracker juice. Little puffs of cracker juice, because it was dry, dry, dry. And the enemy's beatings would say, this isn't working, you're not getting into his presence, nothing is happening, you're just deluding yourself now. And he said, the beatings were really tough. And then he said this. He says, I thank God for the discipline I learned in fasting. Because if I had not been for the discipline I learned there, I never would have survived the beatings I got breaking into worship. Now, all of you that are familiar with the face-to-face, what instructions are in there? No, there's nothing in there about private worship. But there's a lot in there about fasting. Why didn't the Lord tell me about extended worship? I wasn't ready. I needed to learn the discipline that only you can learn from fasting. You can read about it. Trust me, reading about fasting is not the same as fasting. Bronk sent me a book about this thick on fasting, and it's really good. It's the best one I've ever read. And boy, that is great stuff. until you start your fast. I'm always reminded of Mike Tyson, you know, Iron Mike Tyson. Yeah, everybody has a plan till I hit them in the mouth. Yeah, I'm going to do this fasting till fasting hits you in the mouth. Oh, God. And suddenly you find out whether you have discipline or not. But see how Dave, I mean, it's God. I know it's God. God could have told me that. But the way he led me, God knew this day was coming. In fact, it was the same day later in the same. He wanted me to understand Dave is still teaching all of us. There's lots of answers, even personal answers like that, that's in those teachings. So it's a treasure trove. It's a treasure chest of information. And I know I've heard that same message before, but I wasn't mature enough. It's like it wasn't even there. It's like I'd never heard it before, but I know I did. But see, as we grow and mature, you can hear things that you just couldn't hear when you're younger. You could hear it. Remember, how did Jesus say, for those that have ears to hear? Sometimes you don't have ears to hear. You can hear it with ease, but not hear it inside. But Dave is continuing to teach, and I highly recommend everything that he's got there. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He may have an answer for you. It'll tell you which series you need to be listening to. But to me, it was like, and then later on the same day, yesterday, I found out that Dave went to be, and I'm never going to get to sit and ask him questions. See, if Dave would have been like it, if it had been like it was 10 years, 10 years ago, I just would have asked Dave, and he would have told me. But I can't do that now. But that doesn't mean Dave can't still teach me. He's still teaching me. See? Okay. But I don't know. It's amazing to me, even though it's hard on the emotions and hard on our flesh, it wasn't just me. I've received this from several people, even people that they're attached with the message, but they're not physically in Tulsa. They said, I don't understand the peace that I have. There's a peace, and I had that too, even though my emotions are hurting. There's some kind of peace. Maybe it's that Philippians 4. Maybe it's the peace that passes all understanding. But it's okay. Somehow I know it's okay. It's not going to stop revival. It's not going to stop our pressing in. Everything that God has said is still going to come to pass. Thank God for our blueprint. Thank God for the subsequent prophecies. And it's just time to show Dave our dust. And I believe the best days are just ahead of us. I really do. Because revival is coming, ready or not. Now again, I could continue another 15 minutes, but that would be me and not him. So I'm going to go ahead and release you. Father, I pray for myself, everybody here in this building, everybody around the world watching this video. Father, we do thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we'll do our best to do what you instructed in Philippians chapter 4, to focus and force ourselves to think on that which is good and true and just and lovely and of a good report. I know we'd all feel better if we could see the rejoicing going on in heaven when Dave arrived. It was quiet here. I think it was very loud there, Lord. We will see our beloved pastor again. Father, comfort the hearts of all who love Pastor Dave Roberson. Comfort the family, Lord. Comfort them all, the friends, lifelong friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.